we extend a warm welcome to the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Some teach that religion has been the cause of more wars in the history of humankind than anything else. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We love to tell the story, Lord Jesus, if you live in our hearts. For you are the one who has redeemed us. You are the one who has restored us into a living relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we pray today that we may be faithful in the preaching of that word, and that our prayer may be that of the psalmist. Lord, give us an undivided heart. This we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here are a few verses from the 86th Psalm, where the psalmist is praying and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my heart. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Oh,
friends in Christ. There are those who teach that religion has been the cause of more wars in the history of humankind than anything else. This is a rather common statement. You listen to your television from day to day, and you'll hear it quite often. A physician from another part of the world was visiting with one of his patients rather recently. He was talking about the early years of his life. When God became the topic of conversation, the man said, "I have nothing to do with religion. You see, in my country, religion is the primary cause for all of our controversies, many of which turn to war." It startled my friend who heard his doctor say that. Here's another one. I have another friend who says religion can make you a captive, but Jesus Christ can set you free. This person was raised in a very legalistic home. The family emphasized the law of God, and when that was not enough, they spun one of their rules off the Ten Commandments. Religion to these people was heavy and very solemn. When the young man left home for college, he forgot about the church and did not return until his wife introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. That's right, he had gone to church for a long time. He had heard plenty about Christ, but he had really never met him. In Christ, he saw religion as freeing. In Christ, he met a loving God. He experienced the daily forgiveness of his sins, and he began to understand the meaning of that word, God's grace. The gospel was cleansing, and it put a new song and peace in his heart, which he had never known before. There is a real difference in being a religious person and one who was a Christian walking in a personal relationship with the Savior. I'd like to start my sermon today with a couple of questions. Here is the first one. What did the psalmist mean when he prayed, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth"? Then he says, "Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." He asks us to give himself unconditionally to him. Out of this basic biblical question, there comes a second one. Is it possible that we can have uncompromising Christian convictions and yet be respectful of others without compromising what we believe is based on God's word? Now, I can hear someone say, "Of course that is possible. My mother taught me to do everything in moderation. I was to eat, play, work, and do a lot of things, but do them moderately." From this, you can deduct that there are times when, if that's your philosophy, you are more Christian than others. It kind of sounds terrible, but is that the way we live as members of the church? Do we live with the old philosophy, the end justifies the means? Are there times when a lie is justified in furthering the kingdom of God, just like it is in furthering the good of the corporation? Why are there so many disturbances in the church when Jesus tells us to love each other and the catechism says that we are to apologize for our neighbor, speak well of him, and put the most charitable construction on all that we do? Well, if Christianity is lived out in moderation, then this question, "Can I give my life undividedly to the Lord Jesus?" Becomes quite a problem. Yeah, we do everything in moderation, and I don't know if all of us eat in moderation, nor play, nor work in moderation. But it doesn't seem to be too hard to do that as far as religion is concerned. So because we know how to adjust our relationship with God, it seems, when we hear that religion made me a slave, we don't understand what that means. Why would anyone ever want to have his Christianity turn him into a slave. We have to be able to adjust it. That's what many are saying. Why would anyone become so involved with their religious convictions that they would lose a good friend? Say nothing about going to war over religious beliefs. Now, these are the questions, let's be honest, friend, that we ponder from time to time. Why does the psalmist then pray this way, "Give me an undivided heart"? What did he really mean? Well, let's take a look at it. He said, "Teach me, Lord, from your word, and then I'll walk in it." This instruction is not only for information, but it is for obedience. We're praying, "I need to learn from you, God. I cannot trust my own judgment." Well, what about it when God's word is silent on a specific matter? Then I say, "Lord, lead me according to the will of your Holy Spirit." I know that your Bible is not a book where every last conceivable question is answered, but you have said that you would lead and guide and direct us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's what we ask you to do. God's word is not something that I adjust for the circumstances that I find myself in at the present time. If that be true, then certainly we do not have an undivided heart. Then we have a Christianity that is very applicable at certain times and not at others, and it isn't worth very much. God's word is not something, may I say it again repetitiously, God's word is not something that I adjust for the circumstances I find myself in at a particular time. We must be committed to the word regardless of what our culture is teaching us. You can work no deals with Almighty God. I think that's very important for us to understand. If you turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, to chapter 3, you find the writer there talking to the church at Laodicea. And the Lord is saying, "Because you are neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." I don't know how you like it, but I just don't like lukewarm coffee. Not at all. It's got to be hot, or I don't want it. Well, the church at Laodicea, it was a big city, and there was a population there where thriving businesses were doing very, very well. And among these people, some had become Christians. Now they were wondering if they could not adjust that Christianity. Did they have to pray, "Teach me, O God, your will, and then give me an undivided heart"? They certainly did, but for some strange reason, that undivided heart didn't come very well. And then it is that the Lord makes that great picture. You're lukewarm. You want me part of the time, basically down deep inside you want me, but it is not always evident in the way that you talk and in the way that you act. You're kind of hypocritical. And you remember how Jesus denounced the hypocrites? Boy, was he ever hard on them. He was much harder on them than he was on some people who lived in right plain outward sin. He let them know that they could not have any place in his Father's kingdom as long as they were hypocritical. You have to know where the person stands is a cry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there isn't something in this for all of us. You know, Peter was a great disciple of our Lord. He suffered and died for the cause of Jesus Christ. But even with Peter, there would be times when he would waver and his heart would be divided. I think one of the best examples that we have of that is where Peter is in the presence of Paul, and and certain other Gentile Christians. And when the disciples came to that particular place to visit with Peter and Paul and some of the other Christians, these disciples were Jewish. They still did not eat pork. When Peter was with those Jews, he remained faithful to the old Jewish tradition, and he kept the dietary laws. So when some of the Gentile Christians said, "Peter, sit here and eat with us," he didn't know what to do. No, he said, "I think I'll go over here and sit with these people." Until the writer Paul says these people were offended. They were confused. Peter could act one way when the Jewish Christians were not there, and another way when they had left. How could that be? Well, what Peter was doing is so familiar to so many of us. Adjust to the situation. Just adjust to it. And that's the way that you're going to get along. And then you won't have to worry about offending anybody. So we go back to the early question. Is it possible then to live with an undivided heart and still be acceptable to some of our friends? Is that possible? Can we be so committed that we just absolutely are going to be terribly offensive to those who are round about us? I think we can remain true. I don't think. It doesn't matter what I think, friend. It's what the Word of God says. Yes, you and I can be very, very committed to our convictions. We can live, or at least begin to approach this idea of an undivided heart, and not necessarily be offensive. We don't have to run around with a self-righteous spirit and say, "Look, this is what I believe and this is true." You see, the very inflection of our voice does something that turns a person off and angers. It isn't so much what we're saying, it's how we're saying it. We can't come up with a condemning spirit. "Oh, you people don't know what it's all about." You know, I can't say that to some people who I personally believe live in error as far as their Christian faith or their religious faith is concerned, but better that I not say it that way. Why not say, "The Word of God teaches me something quite different from what you believe. Therefore, we can be friends, but we do not agree. And we never will agree if you keep your position and I keep mine. Because I cannot compromise. It is a part of the Word of God." We don't have to be the one who plays the role of God in judgment. Not long ago, I heard somebody say that person is going to spend eternity in hell. Now, on the basis of what the Word of God has to say, the person is not a believer in Jesus Christ, and that means that there's no way that that person can go to heaven. We plainly say, in love and in kindness, you know, the only way to heaven, according to my Bible, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That I must be faithful to proclaim and to teach, and then I leave the rest to God, because eternity is His, and that's where I have to stand. You know, we are now in this knotty problem of the Pledge of Allegiance, and it causes all kinds of strife, doesn't it? How horrible it would be if we could not say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because of some silly ruling by a court. And I hope and I pray, together with other evangelical Christians, that this particular ruling will be put down and put down rapidly. There are some, your relatives probably, your friends, who say that ruling is right. Now you're right in the family circle. Do I have an undivided heart? What do I do? Well, certainly I say on the basis of the Word of God that my Heavenly Father taught me that the United States of America cannot get along without him, that a democracy is based on a strong ethic, that the blessing of Christianity, of America, has been its relationship to God. And now that's where I stand. But that doesn't mean that we've got to destroy the whole family circle, does it? That doesn't do any good. So we turn again to that question. Can I be a person of strong conviction and still have people around me who respect me and love me and are willing to socialize with me? I believe I can. But it is necessary that they know where I stand, and that is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the answer. To an undivided heart, we must forever turn to God. Amen. Our closing song today is sung by a friend of mine who once was an associate pastor on our staff at Nazareth Church in Cedar Falls. Then he went to another church right in our town, St. John's Lutheran Church, and did a marvelous piece of work. Only a short time ago, he left that church and is now going to serve a Presbyterian church in California. This man, I believe, had an undivided heart. Listen as he sings that marvelous song to us this morning, "Give Me Jesus." Amen.
Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Father in heaven, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring that Lord into our hearts, that we may live not as compromising Christians, but as those who follow you with a heart that is undivided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay monthly radio bills. We warmly thank each of our GEM donors. You are truly special in this important ministry. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.